producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Before we go on, let me remind you again to visit plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com, to check out the Paracast Plus, where we offer the ad-free version of this show, the After the Paracast podcast. We've started adding show transcripts, videos coming soon, lots more, but there's going to be a little bit of a rate increase. So if you're hearing the show before the 16th of November, 2015, if you join up right away, you take advantage of the old price. The new price, however, is not that expensive. It's still cheaper than other premium shows. So either way, check it out, plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. We have investigative journalist Leslie Kane. We have Mark Rodiger, who is the head of the J. Allen Hynek Center for UFO Studies. We were talking about the trends of UFOs, that maybe the elusive UFOs, because we can watch them better with our cell phone cameras and everything else, they have become more elusive. So let's go, Mark, specifically now into the UFO Data Project. So, of course, we have the meeting that Leslie's talking about, but what was the overall genesis of this, and what are you hoping to accomplish with UFO data?
I would like to start back much further than the approximate genesis of it and go back into UFO history, because even in the 1950s, when we had plenty of daylight sightings and good sightings and military pilots seeing UFOs, it was understood that we wanted to get physical data from, you know, standardized calibrated instruments, which could be really high quality triangulated photos, radiation detection as they tried to do, and so forth, to be able to learn more about the phenomena. And that idea has carried through all of the UFO research. And so,
and Mark, too, pardon for interrupting, but you have to agree that the United States military has been involved in hard data monitoring of these objects for 50, 60 years, and they have probably really refined the process, looking outwards from our planet and looking downwards as well.
I mean, they have the capabilities to do it. There's no doubt about that. But since, of course, we don't have access to their data, what we do know is that civilian UFO groups or individuals, Dave Akers, who's part of our UFO data team, began in the early 1970s in the Yakima Indian Reservation in Washington State. There was Project Starlight International in Austin, Texas, with Ray Stanford and his group in the 70s as well. So people have known, including the center, I should add, two grad students came to Dr. Hynek in the mid-1970s and said, we want to work with you and your scientists to develop a mobile van full of instruments that we will take to UFO hotspots and try to measure data. And so it was well ahead of its time, and we could never get funding, and so it was just a stillborn idea. But
until Douglas Trumbull about 6 years ago.
That's right. I don't know if he's managed to get out in the field and do much with it, but
one thing to have a $1 million Hummer just loaded for bear. It's another thing to know where to park it.
Yes, that's right. Yes. Do you give it to the valet also when you pull up to the the West Hollywood hotspot, or do you
right.
not?
Yeah.
I don't know.
The red button is the stinger. We don't use that unless all other methods have been exhausted. So don't press the red button, valet.
Right. So that's the backdrop to the UFO Data Project. Now, because of the decline in sightings that we could study with physical evidence, trace cases and so forth, it's become, I think, a more pressing matter to get this physical data.
Location, location, location.
Yep. So Alex Wendt, as Leslie said, had been thinking about this himself, even though he's a political science professor. He's very interested in UFOs and on the physical science side. We had already met when he was at the UFC. Now he's at Ohio State. And so, you know, he contacted me one day and said, hey, I'm thinking about this, and, you know, I want you to partner with me on this. And for some reason that day I was weak, and I said yes. So, you know, we started doing what Leslie described, recruiting people, thinking about, you know, how to do this, thinking about the best way to fund it, and, you know, and all the rest. But the fundamental idea, to make sure the listeners know what we're talking about, is simply that we're going to create automated stations because they're going to be packed with various types of instruments and cameras that will be able to, you know, on their own be triggered if something occurs in view, or at least within scientific instrument view, put it that way, that is worth recording. And then, of course, record it and store it and, you know, transmit it back to our servers, wherever they're going to be located, not determined yet, and then analyzed. And of course, you have to build more than one station because UFOs are not guaranteed to show up hardly anywhere at any time.
Plus triangulation is really important.
It is, though. It turns out if you have cameras on one station that are separated by a reasonable distance, you can calculate the distance to something nearby. That's
right. Yeah,
reasonably rare. Now, if it's too far away, you need a bigger base for the triangulation. Right. But the key, I agree completely with your point, which is you want to have triangulation of some type so that you can determine the distance in the standard easiest way with parallax.
Yeah. Well, the way the San Luis Valley Camera Project is set up, we're triangulated at about 25 miles.
I mean, that's, you know, that covers, of course, a huge, you know, broad range of possible distances.
Yeah, but 25 miles, you know, at 36 times optical zoom is a pretty good equation. We're able to pick up daylight objects less than a meter, less than 2 feet.
At what distance then, Chris?
Anywhere within the triangulated array.
Okay,
we can
great.
Pick up a 2.5 to 3 foot object.
So, Mark, let's look at specifics about what you're trying to do now with UFO data. So, first of all, the actual detection equipment. What sort of configuration are you envisioning?
Yeah, I love the nighttime, the all-sky cam idea, which is something that we've been working with for a while. We're finding out we have some problems with less expensive all-sky cams. You need super high-res ones. Because what we envisioned, like on your website, as that being kind of the surveillance alarm that's burbling underneath the system, and when something triggers certain parameters for velocity, speed, size, luminance, these types of things, then that system of pixels that are being, you know, triggered, then all that information is analyzed by the software, and it determines whether a real event occurs. If it is a real event, record goes in motion, cameras triangulate and move to the real-time event as it's occurring. Correct me if I'm wrong.
You've got it just about exactly right. The key point is that we will definitely use all-sky cameras to be our main detection mechanism. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to have a magnetometer running and a few other things. So if for some reason there was a huge change in the magnetic field, we would then start turning on the recording devices because of disk space and all the rest. Even despite the huge disks that are around today, you don't really want to record video constantly. Or photos 24 hours a day, on and on and on like that. So the station would run 24 hours a day, but it wouldn't always record everything. At least that's
right. It would only record events that are triggered by a preset arrangement of parameters.
That's right. But it may not be only photos, but certainly the photos would be a primary source of quote unquote detection.
Well, and you know what else, Mark? I really love the idea of having analog optics and blaze gratings to separate light spectra out into its constituent wavelengths. And Ray Stanford, I mean, he has been pushing and pushing for us to come up with a way to include analog blaze grating.
Let's do our break here, and then we go more into the nuts and bolts of UFO data and the detection equipment with Mark Rodiger of the Center for UFO Studies, investigative journalist Leslie Kane. Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So, Chris, why don't you continue talking with Mark Rodiger about what's being included here with regard to the equipment with UFO data?
Well, I've been thinking about this whole project for over 20 years. And back when I first tried to cost it out with the level of existing technology and the price points and everything, it was about $1 million. Now, what you have brought up as a number, which I think is, you know, for a rudimentary station, $20,000, there's an amazing lot of tech that could be obtained and made operational remotely with $20,000. And, you know, I want to publicly, number one, applaud the effort. I think Leslie, when she was last on the show, was impassioned about the need to move the field forward. Mark, you've been in the trenches for years. I think this is a great idea. It's something I've been trying to get people to be, you know, get behind for years. And whatever I can do in my capacity with my, you know, I've done a lot of work already in this realm. So I think, you know, with Mark D'Antonio, Douglas Trumbull, is it Mario in Italy, who's already done some really cool stuff, and all, obviously the Haslam folks. I think we all need to work together. And, you know, I think the level of technology, the amount of money it costs to do incredible things has come down to a point where, I mean, we'd be remiss not to attempt to do this properly.
Yeah, well, thanks, Chris, for those that words of support. It is very much appreciated.
Whatever I can do to help, I'm yours.
Yeah, well, we are going to work together, and that I can guarantee. In terms of the technology and the capabilities now, that really is the key. And skeptics, there are debunkers and there are skeptics, and there is a difference. And skeptics of the UFO phenomena and of studying UFOs have said to us, well, okay, maybe there's something to it, but you certainly haven't proven it yet, so you've got to get out there and get more data and prove it to me. And I've talked to a few reasonable ones like that. And so that's another spur to this type of project, which is to say, yes, if we have the theoretical capability to build these things and go out in the field and do it, then if we don't do it, then, you know, 20, 15 years from now, somebody legitimately could look back and say, well, you guys didn't even try. You know, yeah, it wasn't going to be easy, but you have to try.
Somebody's got to do it. Come on. The money is not the thing holding us back right now. With the level of technology and the affordability of gear, you know, of course, D'Antonio and Trumbull are talking about cosmic ray collectors and, you know, all this exotic stuff. I mean, just the meat and potatoes data, gravity, optics,
magnetometers, easy. Yeah.
I mean, this is all simple stuff that you don't need to go, you know, and mortgage your house or something to outfit. You know, I think the whole idea of closed window sort of, you know, targeted radar is something else that has not been incorporated into any of the types of systems that have been proposed or gone into at least some sort of, operation. There's a lot of ideas I think we all in this realm could share. And as I said, you know, I want to get into some of the nuts and bolts here, but whatever I can do, you guys, I'm there for you.
Let me ask you a quick question here, Mark. Now, you've been involved in UFO research since probably the 70s, and a lot of us have been around longer. Is it the sheer cost of equipment that has prevented this from being done or attempted up until recent years?
Effectively, yes. The efforts that were, you know, Hestalin succeeded in capturing photographs and videos of UFOs and taking some rudimentary measurements. But how did they do that? They did that through people power, it turns out. Right. Of course, they had the right scientific instruments. So what happened is, mostly in the summer, not in the winter, they would send expeditions there, and often there's an Italian physicists and astronomers that have gone there, you know, for some time now, and they would set up camp. They would monitor things 24 hours a day. Of course, they had great cameras and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And the phenomena was non-elusive enough so that it would show up while they were there, and not, you know, maybe once or twice in a week, but once or twice in a week is better than none. And then they would measure it and take pictures and do the things they did. Well, they didn't build, despite the famous blue box that Erlin Strand has built at Hestalen, which, you know, does kind of run 24 hours and take pictures, basically. They didn't set up a station. It wasn't automated and all the rest, because, hey, where was the internet in the early 1980s? It was, you know, nowhere for public consumption. And where was the miniaturization of all these things in the 1980s? It was nowhere. And so, yes, it would have been extremely expensive to try to do this with the typical public donations and all that that we had. But as time has gone on, as Chris said, right, everything's just gotten cheaper, smaller.
Right, like everything but in the life. One thing that is going to always be the stumbling block is that dedicated person prior to you having a budget so you can pay them, that dedicated person that's going to sit there at that base station and, you know, keep all systems running. You need to have a budget, and you need to have the bandwidth to sit there, you know, in that position. They need to be hired, and they need to be eminently overqualified, underpaid, but kept really happy.
Fast question here with this equipment. Will they all not be monitored on site by somebody and just left to stay there, and then you monitor them from a central station, or will you have people for each measuring device?
Well, let me ask Chris, Gene, if I may, before I answer, because sure. I'm curious. So, Chris, how is your network set up pursuant to what Gene
said? Well, we're toying with two different approaches. We're going with a CCT closed system loop that's our own LAN. We're also looking at the internet as a way to instantaneously communicate between base station and the two auxiliary cameras. The base station will have the gravitometer, the magnetometer, the blaze grating, the EMF meter, that sort of thing. We're hoping to have FLIR on all three, ultimately on all three locations. We're not so much concerned with the wow, gee whiz, nighttime potential data. We're mostly concerned with daylight objects. I want to be able to see what our government has operational and is clandestinely testing in the Levita Low Operations MTA that's right next to the triangulated array that we've got proposed here.
How about security and just the logistics of that? I mean, are you the property it's being placed on, or all things that, of course,
it's all private, secure property,
right?
And actually highly visible in one sense of the word. It's, believe me, it is the hotspot, ground zero in the United States that deserves this kind of system. And there are a number around, and I would really like to get into your whole location scouting process too, because I've got a bunch of ideas about that.
Let's do our break here, and we'll discuss Chris's ideas about location and more about the kind of equipment that's going to be available once you get this network set up. We have Mark Rodiger with Gene and Chris and Leslie Kane. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
I want to be able to smoke inside, cut down on cigarettes, jog without wheezing, be kissable, and save money.
Then you want LeSig e-cigarettes. Get the highest quality, best tasting vaping experience on the market with unmatched customer service from LeSig. And right now, gobble up this deal. Buy $30 worth of any products and get a starter kit for only $5. Use code SK at checkout. But hurry, offer good only until Thanksgiving at LeSig.com. LeSig.com. Kick some ash with LeSig.
There are hundreds of silver products on the market today, but there's nothing like the astonishing health benefits of the multi-patented One Silver Solution. Boost your immune system at a great price with our Silver Solution Liquid, starting at $12.95 a bottle. Now available in regular and extra strength. That's half the price of the leading competitors. Call 844-USILVER for your free catalog, or go to OneSilverSolution.com. OneSilverSolution.com. There is only one Silver Solution.
My name is Bill Bonner, and I have an important message. Right now, the highest levels of government are struggling against an inevitable crisis, but they're about to lose control. When this happens, it will rip our country apart in ways you never imagined, from where we shop to the family you want to protect. Look, I've made predictions like this before. A few years ago, I warned that the housing prices would collapse. Before that, I warned that dot-com companies would crash, and they did. Those who listened had a chance to save themselves. But this has nothing to do with the stock market. This will affect us all. I've posted a free video at disappearingdollar.com. Maybe you'll disagree with my conclusions, but first you need to watch this video and see the facts for yourself. You can watch the video for free right now by going to disappearingdollar.com. Again, that's disappearingdollar.com.
Hey, Berkey Guy here. Are you still drinking unfiltered tap water? Does your water contain chlorine or fluoride? Will you have drinkable water in an emergency? The Berkey Guy is here to help you remove these and other potential contaminants from your water, thus helping you drink clean, purified water. We offer Berkey water purification systems at the lowest available prices online. Don't go another moment without Berkey System. Over the last 10 years, we've helped thousands drink clean, purified water. Join them by visiting GoBerkey.com or call me, the Berkey Guy, at 877-886-3653. That's 877-886-3653.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
If you or someone you care about loves outdoor adventure, then check out Slingbow.com for some unique holiday gift ideas. That's Slingbow.com, where we have some innovative new products for the archer, hunter, or bow fishing enthusiast in your family. Now through January, use the promo code HOLIDAY to get free shipping in the U.S. or Canada. And from all of us at Slingbow Industries, have a safe, joyous, and peaceful holiday season.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Well, she's good. She is good. Chris, she's going to be one of our top people here.
Oh, I'm glad you liked it.
All right. We've got Leslie Kane and Mark Rodiger who'll get his turn. And we're talking about the UFO data project and very much about the nuts and bolts and how things are set up. And I want to understand the equipment before we get into locations and everything else, more about the equipment. So we have photographic equipment, lenses, stuff like that, motion sensors. What kind of things are you looking for? Radiation? You're looking for electromagnetic, we assume?
Yes, we're going to look for the cost for the spectrum. So we, you know, the visible spectrum is what we normally think about, but there's the infrared spectrum or the infrared part of the spectrum, and then the radio frequency and microwave end. So we're going to have instruments that would capture data from that range, and possibly down into below, you know, kind of into the, you know, ultraviolet and just below the visible range, but we don't expect really to get down to X-rays and gamma rays. We just don't think that that's an area that is we're likely to get a signal. Magnetometers, you know, magnetic field, weather data naturally, and possibly a gravimeter or a gravitometer, which is basically local gravity field. It's really an accelerometer, which so if you had a box and the thing was in there, and you pick the box up suddenly, it would recognize the fact that you pick this box up suddenly and you lifted it into the air. The gravity field doesn't change often in reports of sightings. It was more common in the olden days of UFOs. But if you got something like that happening and you were absolutely sure that the station was solid, you know, it didn't move, that would be quite amazing to get that kind of a detection. So we'll include that.
We have
as well.
A complete design to set that up with the help of Ray Stanford, by the way, and he has offered the use of his gravitometer to to go ahead and at least get it set up. Plus, we've got some interesting ideas, and I see that you are aware, obviously, of the potential for data gathering in the very low frequency or ultra low frequency acoustic range. And one of the things that we've devised is a concrete slab and some very sophisticated PZM mics that would be able to detect extremely huge cycles, single, cycles of acoustic waves. So we need to, I think, all, put our heads together and come up with some of the ideas that we've been working on. Also, an idea of measuring a laser beam.
You mean shining a laser beam out at the phenomena? Or?
Well, no. A laser beam that would be, you would be measuring the effect of a close proximity object, which obviously is one in a trillion possibility, but who knows? If you did have a close proximity approach by an object, you could have a laser experiment that actually could measure the strength of the magnetic field by how much it bends the light. Ray has devised a really ingenious experiment in that regard as well. So this is where our audience at the Paracast really, I think, agrees with me, and this is where we need to move. This is how we need to groove and get this whole thing out of the ditch, put the wheel back on the darn thing, and let's start, going through the woods, going down the track here. We need to move forward and do this type of program. This is the obvious next step. Everything else, all the anecdotal stuff is great. All the data that we've been able to collect from Ted's 7,000 landing trace cases, all that's wonderful. But if we really want to, crack this thing open, we're going to have to do hard data monitoring. And I applaud you guys for this, and can't wait to see it go nationwide, global. Be great.
Well, related to that, we've been talking about the fact that, you've got your project and the UFO Talk project with Douglas Trumbull and, our project and a few others. I am of the mind that, particularly because I know the history of science, and is that it is actually indicative of a positive elements that all these things are happening at once, because this is pretty common in science when there's an area that becomes hot in science and that lots of people say, hey, this is worth studying. Sometimes it's because of new technology. Other times it's just because somebody had a great idea and we want to test that idea out. But I think that the UFO field, and this is quite rare in the UFO field, is acting like normal science right now, amazingly enough, because lots of us are independently, right? So how about that? Frightening. But we're all saying, hey, it's doable, it's feasible. As you said, we got to get the car back on the road. So, let's do it. And so I'm happy to have lots of projects, and even if they don't all collaborate, because, not everybody can do the same thing, and we shouldn't all do the same thing. Because
it's double bind, too. Yeah. I mean, gosh, if you have two independent projects monitoring the same airspace, and they could come up with data, and then you could have a field day looking at the correlations and looking at any potential, head scratchers, it would be great. I love it. But I think working together, too, I mean, at least pooling data, being transparent with what you're getting, not hoarding stuff, being as transparent as possible, I think that's important.
Yes. So I know there was a listener question. I looked at the postings about that issue. And naturally, we are going to make our data available. Naturally, as with any scientific project, it won't be available instantly. We have to look at it. We have to, process it. We have to do all the stuff you would normally do with it. And then we have to do the analysis and, of course, write an article for a journal. Because if you say, what are we going to do with the results of this? Ultimately, what does science want you to do?
Publish. Peer review.
Right. And so that's what we're going to do. And that doesn't preclude making the data available on a website for other people to data mine. So those are not, again, antithetical.
Okay, here's a quick question for you. Now, do you envision, as I do for my particular, little homegrown grassroots project, do you consider having a, you know, just a public view only sort of feed from a system as it's just sitting there idling until, boom, you know, some sort of event happens. And then, you know, the system wakes up and then you start to have things go on visually and optically, you know, whatever. Do you have envisioned a live feed that people can become sort of witnesses to events as they occur around the world?
Yes, we've thought about that.
It's easy to do.
Yeah, it's easy to do. We haven't progressed that far down that road on that side of things just because we focused, as you can imagine, on, you know, either the launch the project publicly or the get the station design worked out, and it's still not right. Worked out, of course. But
well,
yes.
Being as a server that we could go ahead and supply a platform for, you know, that wonderful PR tool that could be sitting out there burbling 24/7, and people could be making their notes when an event occurs, and you have a red box blinking around the image because, you know, motion has been detected and we're in record mode, that sort of thing. That adds drama. There's nothing like a little drama to add success and notoriety and visibility. I would strongly urge you to definitely consider that. And Gene has been willing to help us with that particular aspect of this whole project. So I'm sure he would be more than happy to extend his expertise in server space.
We actually, by the way, have two servers running right now. Don't know if that's going to be true next year. But they both have humongous amounts of bandwidth capability. So we are able to do that. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. And let's see where that takes us. Let's take us to plus.thepowercast.com. Price increase as of November 16. A slight price increase. If you join before then, you lock in the current price because the memberships just recur as they are renewed automatically.
Yeah, $5 a month.
Right, $5 a month now. Goes $6 a month, but some shows charge $9 a month, so we're doing better. You get the ad-free version of the PowerCast. You get After the PowerCast, video content underway, coming soon. We have transcripts for shows. Learn more about it, plus.thepowercast.com, plus.thepowercast.com. We have Leslie Kane, Mark Rodiger, Gene and Chris. You're in
the PowerCast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's L-E-M-K-E Soft.com. LemkeSoft.com. L-E-M-K-E Soft.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Sam Nussbaum with the Anthem Foundation. Premature birth is the leading cause of death of babies and disabilities for children. That's why we support the March of Dimes to help mothers have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Join us in supporting cutting-edge research, treatment and outreach to help moms during their pregnancy and give every baby a healthy start in life. Learn how you can help at marchofdimes.org.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lungs. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention, Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't pick on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes! I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
You know, just having these two on to do that is worth it every week. We should just, you know, have you come on, like, for a short time. Leslie Kane, Mark Rodiger, competing for the best Paracast stinger, but talking about serious stuff like UFO data with Gene and Chris. And I wanted to ask you here, I guess the next step, and there's a lot of things involved here, Mark, choosing the locations where to put these stations, what have you done so far?
Well, what we've done is sorted through some of the more obvious locations, and by that I mean the historic spots where people have reported lots of sightings, and many of your listeners that we've already, you know, heard the names or will know them, you know, the Hestal and Yakima, yes, and you know, the San Luis Valley in Colorado and a few other spots. There's a place in Italy that Massimo Teodorani knows about and all the rest. However, as Chris correctly noted, you need to have somebody local who will be able to go to the station, maintain it, fix it, reboot the computer if necessary. You know, you'd like to think we're building a space probe to go to Pluto where there, you know, you can get by without somebody to push the reboot button, which they've managed to do. But in fact, that's why they cost $30 million to do it, and these won't. So because of that, we know that we may have to, I won't use the word compromise, we just have to take into account various factors to make the choice that will maximize the success of the operation, which means having a station running in addition to being where there might be sightings. And so one of the things we're doing on the site is recruiting volunteers who can host a station, who have the right property that's secure, who have the right background and so forth, that can do this. So, Gene, we're gonna balance those things, but naturally we're going to put more emphasis, if possible, on where sightings either are currently reported happening, because one of the persons on the team is Robert Powell from MUFON, the director of research. Of course, we've got a direct access to the latest MUFON data about where sightings are happening. And of course, we work with Peter Davenport as well. And then, like I said, finding spots where we can have reliable people to keep things running.
If you come up with a boilerplated system that is not, you know, it's super difficult for the average person to, you know, grab a system, have it plug and play, get your, you know, port forwarding done and any sort of IP stuff that you need to do, You know, this could be done very, very cheaply, you know, or maybe the better word is inexpensively, and it could be done almost plug and play. I mean, it could be, you know, what is that turnkey, I think is the term, where you just, you know, you set it up, you power it on, and boom, you're ready to go. And then as these things started to, you know, kind of move out from hotspot areas, you start to get people motivated in, you know, adjoining regions, you know, you could modular systemize this thing out and, man.
No, you're right, Chris.
To me, that's the most exciting thing that I have ever thought about within this field.
Yes, and let me – a couple points to follow up on that. We absolutely have considered tiers of stations in terms of capability. The Cadillac version or the Lexus version, you know, would be the one that we've been discussing because you need one that has, you know, that's $20,000 or whatever it's going to cost that can do everything, right? Because you want to get as much data as possible. But then again, if everything's that much money, you can't have as many. And so we've already gotten several emails unsolicited from people who are excited and said, you know, I can't spend $20,000 or whatever. But if you can get the price down, I guarantee you I will buy one and all the rest and you know, and run it and integrate with your network. And so we're thinking about that. It would be
we've already got systems designed at three different price levels. So
exactly. And so that's what we want to work with you on that. And so now the other point I was going to make, though, is that the not only is the this idea of going out in the field to gather UFO data, normal science, it also fits with the zeitgeist of the time, which is that surveillance is becoming ubiquitous. Now, I'm not a big fan of government surveillance and corporate surveillance, but I'm certainly a big fan of surveillance, you know, turned around on the, you know, for citizen surveillance of something useful and reasonable.
Yeah, watching the watchers watch the watchers.
Yeah, right. Or in this case, just watching the skies. And so if we can do it, you know, let's do it, basically, and surveil the skies constantly. Of course, the ultimate goal would be having some type of instrumentation everywhere so the sky can be monitored constantly and you can detect whatever you detect. As I think, Chris, you said earlier, you know, or maybe it was Gene, you know, the government is got – great technology out there already, you know, the radar fence around the whole, you know, Earth that they use to detect launches of missiles and things. So, you know, we're not going to build that kind of a capability, but we can certainly build something that would be sufficient for our purposes.
Absolutely. Ron Regier, a good close friend of mine who worked for Aerojet for many years and, you know, engineering aspects of the optics of most of our spy satellites in the last 30 years. He made a very interesting statement publicly back in the late 90s, early 2000s, saying that it was his opinion that every major spy satellite or surveillance satellite that this country has sent aloft, at least since the 60s, early 70s, has also been tasked with pointing outwards, not only down at the planet. So great strides, I'm sure, have been made in the, you know, the classified world. And one of the reasons why I am so excited about the San Luis Valley aspect of this potential surveillance net is that it is right on, it's right on the western side of one of our largest low flight military operations area. And I've had so many reports of what may be conventional objects acting in highly unconventional ways that have been sighted flying in conjunction with conventional aircraft and that sort of thing. And just to be able to differentiate between what is truly state of the art on this planet and what could be, you know, totally off planet, which is also going on there. That to me is the ultimate challenge. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun and it's going to be unassailable. If the data is gathered properly, it will be unassailable and there will be no equivocation in terms of the results. And you said your ultimate goal is to get a net of these things around the planet. My ultimate goal is just to get one that we can get irrefutable data to write the ultimate paper to slam dunk this subject back into academia's face. And I hate to sound all MBA and stuff, but that's my goal.
Mark, you want to respond?
It's an ambitious goal, but why not? The thing is that science has rejected the phenomena for a variety of reasons, both theoretical and, let's say, data-based. The theoretical reasons have mostly disappeared. There is only one really left, and that is that if UFOs are alien, and not time travelers or extra dimensional or whatever, they can't get here from there in reasonable numbers. The distances across space are too far. But all the other objections have gone away. Are there planets out there? Yes. Are there probably lots of planets with habitable in the habitable zone around their star? Yes. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But on the data side, we don't have, as Chris just said, we don't have as much, really, and not as much, hardly any quality, hard, reliable data. So if we get that, the bit about the theory where they can't get here from there doesn't make any difference, because the same thing would be true, by the way, if tomorrow the proverbial UFO, lands on the, I won't say the White House lawn, just lands wherever, and they get out. And I don't expect the first scientist to walk up to them to say, but you can't get here from there. So what are you doing here? What's going on? That's not going to, that objection just goes away in the face of actual evidence. And so that's what you need, data and evidence.
If only. Do you think here at all that we're kind of challenging the gods to be semi-serious about this? You set up these networks, the phenomenon, knowing these networks are set up, just like they seem to become more elusive because of the fact that we have more advanced ways and cheaper ways of detecting things such as smartphone cameras, that the phenomenon itself may choose to become more elusive than now once you set up this network. It has the effect of deterring them. That's obviously the fly in the ointment. It doesn't mean you shouldn't try. You have to try. You have to try to find as much evidence as you can and hope that in a rare occasion you'll get results and have something to demonstrate UFO reality and maybe get a handle on what they really are. And we've got a lot to cover here still with our remaining four segments with Mark Rodiger, Leslie Kane, Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
Don't take a cold or flu lying down. Stand up and fight back with Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver is a natural immune system booster that is highly effective against viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Supernatural Silver is perfect for daily use and can be taken orally or used topically to keep you protected from whatever comes your way. This new technology is hundreds of times more effective than colloidal or ionic silver and is supported by extensive research from over 300 clinical studies at universities and independent research facilities across the country. Supernatural Silver has an exceptionally long storage life and should be an essential part of your emergency preparedness. Don't be caught off guard. Give your body the support it needs to fight off deadly pathogens that are lurking everywhere. Stock up on Supernatural Silver and give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2015 for 20% off. That's SupernaturalSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com.